our translator IDs, K220HR Hood River, K282BH Philomath. Please stay tuned for Positively Revolting Talk Radio with special guest Shahid Buttar. And right after this.
Call all angels. Call all angels.
Coming this Friday to the Song Circle, KBOO Community Radio welcomes esteemed singer-songwriter Jane Seabury, who in her more than 30-year career has garnered radio hits in her native Canada and a loyal fan following far beyond. Jane Seabury's in Portland to perform her holiday show, Holiday Hoes and Heroes. We'll talk to her about that and other recent artistic adventures, and she'll play some music live in studio on the KBOO piano. That's this Friday, 1:30 p.m. on the Song Circle, here on your community radio station, KBOO.
It's almost as if you could only crack the code, then you'd finally understand what this all means.
(877) 500-5266 877-500-5266 Once again, 877-500-5266 Last time, 877-500-5266
What would you have instead?
No, this is it.
Comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought will tell the world how you cast your vote.
Revolt. Whoa, good morning. This is Positively Revolting. This is KBOO.FM. And that was Chumbawamba, who have graciously let us use their song for our theme song. Thank you, Danbert. No Bacon. Always, always, always.
And it is about 5 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 5 minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning. And I'm Ani.
I'm Lynn.
And this is, as Lynn just said, Positively Revolting Talk Radio. As, you know, we encourage folks to check out the world situation and, well, revolt in a positive manner. This morning, we are, of course, talking about the current groundswell of response from the people to police violence. For more than 20 years, Positively Revolting has been covering this topic of police killing with impunity and other violence directed at communities by police departments. Far from being a couple of rogue cops, we have seen over and over again that these killer cops are often following protocols put out by militarized police departments, including their training that encourages them to see people as a threat or an enemy. We are more challenges to be subdued and overcome, far more than citizens to be protected and served. Shahid Buttar is the Executive Director of the Bill of Rights Defense Committee, and he's joining us for the discussion this morning. Good morning, Shahid.
Thanks so much for having me on, Ani.
Thank you so much for being on. Shahid is a civil rights lawyer, a hip-hop and electronica MC, an independent columnist, a nonprofit leader, a grassroots community organizer.
Guerrilla poet?
Professionally, you are, again, the Executive Director of the Bill of Rights Defense Committee, and you also serve as the co-director of the Rule of Law Institute. Thank you very much for taking the time to be with us.
It's my pleasure, absolutely. I'm really glad you guys are covering the story, and it's an inspiring, I dare say, historic time that we're living in.
Well, and that's exactly it, Shahid. In the wake of the killings of Eric Garner last July and then Mike Brown last August, there has been a new focus, a national focus of attention given to the violence, especially against brown and black people by the police, although the police do kill mentally ill people, they kill white folks, they kill poor people. But it is a flashpoint right now where we have some national attention on what has been a very long-standing historic issue. In that national attention, in this focus, we are hearing more and more about the violence perpetrated by police across the nation, killing folks in a way that I'm sure has been going on, as we have seen, but there is that focus now, so we're hearing more national reports.
Social media has made has gotten in where standard media is not, don't you think?
I think that's certainly a piece of it. I mean, this has been going on for the better part of half a millennium.
Right, exactly. So
it's not a new problem. But what I do think is new is increasingly, we the people have the tools in our pockets to expose that this stuff is happening. But I also want to sound a word of caution there. For instance, you know, there was a video that captured Eric Garner's murder, but the video is not enough. And particularly in the wake of the president's proposal, a red herring proposal that I dare say would do more harm than good, to lavish $250 million on police departments to get body cameras, is not a solution to the problem. Social media has done a lot, I think, to focus public attention on these issues. I think what's ultimately done even more than that is the rising tide of sit-ins and occupations around the country that have taken it beyond social media to claim public space and to force a public conversation that has not happened for 500 years. I think it's a combination of social media with street activism. And it's amazing to see, in particular, not just the modes in which that street activism is happening, but the various places it's happening from, and all the different, very diverse communities that have become active participants. It's as dark as this issue is, and as terrifying as it is that people we pay to keep us safe can murder us with impunity, it's amazing to see the people of the United States rise up, quite frankly, to demand our most fundamental rights, and I don't think we're going to stop until we have them.
And we have seen, even this week, the Phoenix police have killed another unarmed black man, and the groundswell of protests in Phoenix and around Arizona.
And Cleveland.
And the list goes on.
Every day another town, which is...
Except in Cleveland, you have to say it was an unarmed black boy. right? I mean, these aren't even men we're talking about sometimes. No. I mean, these are children, ultimately.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. So in this moment, how is it, how do we sustain this movement? And now that we have each other's attention, how is it that we can continue on past, there's the initial rush, the initial flurry. Right. How do we continue the momentum?
I think one of the big issues here is to keep our eyes on the prize. So, for instance, and I'll just follow me here, it will make sense. Several years ago, maybe a decade ago, when the anti-war movement was very visible in the spring of 2003, there was a pretty dramatic change after the President Bush at the time showed up on an aircraft carrier and said that the mission was accomplished. And I fear very much that President Obama's declaration that we're going to spend $250 million on body cameras is similar. You know, it's an attempt to tell a movement that its aims have been secured. And I think we need to keep our eye on the prize and realize that nothing short of a change in the law to guarantee officer accountability for, and not just police murders of unarmed people. You know, the issue is broader than that as well. One of the chants mm-hmm. I've heard here in Washington is end racial profiling, which, for instance, Congress could do. You know, there is a bill that's been sitting before Congress for over 15 years that, ironically, the Bush administration supported, but the Obama administration has failed to get behind. Figure that one out. And it's called the End Racial Profiling Act. And here's the most damning statistic of all. It is an issue on which both Democrats and Republicans have failed America. Over the last 2 years, when Democrats have held the Senate, the number of hearings that the End Racial Profiling Act got in Congress was zero. And I think it's easy for movements to sustain themselves when they realize that they are being pimped. And at the end of the day, Democrats in Washington pimp the interests of communities of color without being particularly either effective or even outspoken in defending those interests. And it's not unlike immigration, where, you know, undocumented communities were, or I should say Latino communities generally, were one of the constituencies which Democrats have cultivated. Mm-hmm. And during their time in Washington, Democrats have really done nothing for immigrants. And in fact, the Obama administration has an unprecedented rate of deportations. But the rise of the tide of profiling is not only rising in different places, but it's spreading into different ways. You know, Muslims and environmentalists and peace activists are being monitored. That's a form of profiling. People from different countries are being stopped at checkpoints. You know, you mentioned Arizona before, which is one of the high water marks in terms of state policies that encourage profiling. Mm-hmm. And then there's the kind of profiling that Mike Brown and Eric Garner were subject to. And it's all the same. And I think one key to a movement's sustainability is to recognize how all of it's the same and to articulate and embrace ambitious goals beyond the news cycle. You know, we might be tweeting RIP Eric Garner, right? But it's about a lot more than Eric. And we might be, you know, certainly motivated by Mike's sacrifice. But as a meeting at St. Mark's Church in St. Louis, where I was last week, started, you know, the first thing that people said as the meeting came to order was, this is not about Mike. It's about stopping the next one. And I think that's something for us to keep in mind, is that individual discrete instances of abuse are alarming. They are disturbing. They will drive us to action, but we cannot stop until we have solutions to make sure that those incidents are the last.
And it seems as this is one of those situations that's going to get worse before it gets better.
I fear that might be true. I mean, yeah, thinking about Phoenix, you know, it seems to be that way, yeah, but that does seem to be the case. And the fact, for instance, that in the Garner and Brown killings, in both instances, there were opportunities for accountability that, you know, grand juries ultimately did not adopt, which really reflects the fault of the prosecutors.
I was going to say,
here, right?
Well, but also, yeah. Isn't there a huge fault in the grand jury system? That is,
no question.
A lot of folks here, I think a lot of folks don't know what the actual procedure is in a grand jury that keeps how they disseminate information, that it's completely biased. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. I mean, grand juries are secret proceedings in which the so-called jury hears from only one side of the case, and that is the prosecutor. And this is why people say the prosecutors can indict a ham sandwich. Getting an indictment is a piece of cake, and essentially any case, because the grand jury never hears from the defense unless the prosecutor act like a defense attorney, which is exactly what happened in both of the grand juries in St. Louis and New York. When the prosecutors put the cops up on the stand to talk to the jurors for hours, which is exactly what is not supposed to happen in a grand jury, that's a total subversion of the process, then it's predictable that grand juries would not indict. And in fact, let's just put this in perspective. In the last year for which data is available, I think this was 2010, in the federal system, so not the state systems, but in federal courts, there were something on the order of 120,000 grand juries, from which the grand total of no indictments was 11. Not 11,000, not 1,100, 11 out of 120,000. That's the number of cases in which grand juries failed to return indictments, which is to say the only way to get a no indictment is when the prosecutor throws the case, and that's exactly what happened in both of these trials. Not even trials, with what happened in both of these attempts, so-called attempts of prosecution. This was the state protecting its own, and it's exactly what is unacceptable. It reflects separate systems of justice. It's worth drawing an analogy here. You know, just yesterday, I was in the Senate dropping off a quarter million petitions to Senator Mark Udall, imploring him, not on the issue of police accountability, but on CIA torture, to do the right thing and read into the congressional record the Senate's historic report on CIA torture. And the point I want to draw here is the same. There are separate systems of justice in this country. It's mass incarceration or extrajudicial assassination, like Eric Garner and Mike Brown suffered, for powerless people under the guise of petty offenses, you know, selling cigarettes in one case, while people, not just suspected, but people for whom there is public evidence of severe crime, as outright as murder in the case of the cop who killed Eric Brown, or torture in the context of Judge Jay Bybee, who's a judge on the federal circuit. You know, these people accused of very serious crimes who happen to be powerful face no consequences at all, while powerless people are pursued relentlessly for trivial offenses. And I think it's the separate systems of justice in this country, the separate but equal system, which the courts have refused to acknowledge, which policymakers have refused to acknowledge, which media, until things burn, have refused to acknowledge. That's, I think, ultimately what's driving this very assertive, principled, broad-based, indefatigable movement that we've seen emerge around the country.
And with that, let's go ahead and hear from Conch. Good morning, SW.
Good morning.
And we are here at KBOO, your community radio station, asking for your support because, in fact, we are the people's media. And who but the people's media tells the people's story, right? That's where you come in, my friend, by calling 877-500-5266 and giving your support to KBOO Community Radio. Conch, tell them more.
Well, we can tell you that the at any new and increased annual donations will be matched during this hour, during the hour that Positively Revolting will be airing. SSI, Shredding Systems, has made a very generous offer to match the next $500 in donations called in during Positively Revolting Talk Radio. So this is the number to call, toll-free, 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. KBOO. And this is a great year-end thing to be doing. If you have been a listener for a very long time and you have been appreciating all of this information, it's a great time to become a member. You can do it for only $5 a month, $10 a month, $20 a month. Great gifts such as the hoodie, the new KBOO hoodie, brand new. Be the first on your block to wear this hoodie for a $20 pledge of support per month. Calling 877-500-5266 or going online at kboo.fm. Tip jar, donate today jar in the upper right hand corner. We've been enjoying this amazing conversation that Ani and Lynn have been having with Shahid Buttar, talking about the right to peaceably assemble that is enshrined in the Bill of Rights, and how that has been under attack, being chipped away little by little. And the folks who are fighting back are generally the folks who have access to local information about what's going on in your community, and national and international information, in-depth information, talking to folks who have the background in a constitutional law, the background in activism, the background that we provide here at KBOO. When we train reporters, when we train hosts, when we train engineers, all for free. This is what you support when you call in to KBOO at 877-500-KBOO. We want to thank some of the folks who have been calling in during Democracy Now, which has been talking about similar issues on a national level with Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. We want to thank Gary, who it looks like it might be Jerry, renewing from Gresham. Thank you so much, Jerry. And Anita is renewing from Vancouver. We love the folks in Clark County there in Southwest Washington. Eleanor is renewing from Portland. Thank you, Eleanor. Diane is a new member here in Portland. We want to remind people that this is a great time right now to double the impact of your donation without a single extra dime out of your pocket. All new donors and increased annual donations, even if it's just a buck or two per month, that will be matched by SSI Shredding Systems. Very generous offer. The next $500 in donations. Let's see, we have what's the goal? Is it $1,300? Is that right? We want to make sure everybody has a great opportunity to call in right now. 877-500-5266 is the toll-free number to call. 877-500-KBOO. To support this amazing programming that we have right now. We're going to go back to Ani and Lynn right now with Shahid Buttar talking about the Bill of Rights, the right to peaceably assemble. But we do want people to keep on calling 877-500-KBOO.
Thanks very much, Conch. Please do keep calling in, 877-500-5266. Pledge your support. Show your support. In fact, support your community and your community radio station. Just a few cents a day, $10 a month, is an easy way to support KBOO. Please do give us a call right now, 877-500-5266. Remember, if you're a new member, your contribution will be doubled. And that is a very exciting moment for KBOO. Shahid, thank you very much for sticking around. There's a long history, as we've been talking about this, you know, decades, one could say centuries, of police violence against the people in this country. And so far from being sort of a spontaneous sort of outpouring, we're looking at what I see is really finally the overboiling of rage. Of people who have been repressed by super militarized police departments. Now, since the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, there's been a concerted move towards militarizing the police and really providing them with military grade weapons and the mindset that the people are the threat, the people are the enemy. Can you talk a little bit more about that history?
Absolutely, and I think it's an important one. To remember, and I like to go back here to go to the origins of police militarization, because a lot of Americans forget why police in the United States are militarized.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to forget because there wasn't a discrete moment when it happened. It happened over a period, particularly in the 80s and 90s with the emergence of SWAT teams.
Mm-hmm.
And the crux, what really drove it, was when local police departments started getting outgunned by narco traffickers. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Where did the narco traffickers get their weapons? At the time, it was a conspiracy theory when Gary Webb was reporting on it, but since then, the CIA has admitted to arming and equipping narco traffickers and facilitating human rights abuses across Latin America for decades. This is the very same CIA that only a few years before was training the precursors to Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan to fight the Soviets to deny them access to a warm water port. The result of both of those actions were constitutional infringements on Americans en masse. What we got in exchange for the CIA running drugs into U.S. cities was militarized police. What we got in exchange for the CIA training Al-Qaeda was the NSA dragnet, the National Defense Authorization Act, permitting the detention of Americans without trial, or the drone strike program, permitting the assassination of Americans without trial based on what we say as long as we're not in the country. You know, the CIA's misdeeds, what you might describe as its strategic blunders despite seeming tactical victories, have been the source of an ongoing litany of constitutional, and I don't want to say threats, because a threat implies that it has yet to become ripe. These aren't constitutional threats. These are constitutional deaths. You know, the one area where I dissent from your colleague who was talking during the pledge drive, he'd mentioned the right to assembly, which we've been losing little by little.
Mm-hmm.
We're not losing it little by little. It was lost it has been lost. You don't have a right to assemble. That's what the Occupy movement's experience demonstrated. If we try to assemble, we will be beaten by the people we pay to keep us safe. And I think that's interesting when we look at the current moment, because the movement that's emerging around the country in a lot of places includes pretty significant representation from the Occupy movement, right? You could think of it as and it's a very different crowd, because it's being driven by communities that feel at even greater risk than students. You know, these are people who, in a lot of cases, have been affirmatively denied educational opportunities, right? But to see that solidarity across those communities and to see the tools of the Occupy movement used by this movement. For instance, you know, when we occupied Union Station here in Washington, D.C. a few days ago, the students from Howard University, who are really spearheading the local movement here, they were using the mic check, which was a crowd tool developed by the Occupy movement to help groups hear each other when there is an amplification. The whole principle of popping up, and instead of trying to hold space in the way that the Occupy movement did, the idea of essentially emerging to hold space and then fade and then do it somewhere else, as we've been doing across the country, I think that was very much inspired by lessons from the Occupy movement. So I see this learning happening across.
Well, it's a morphing, don't you think? I mean, after the camps were cleared out with Occupy, people were talking about that it was dead, and I kept thinking, no, they will just morph into other things, because maybe we're so used to such stagnant our political system right now is so stagnant that a real movement has to keep changing all the time and morphing, and it's been really good to see that.
I think that's right. The only place I'd quibble is that the particular reason we have to morph is because the police keep beating us and arresting us when we do raise our voices. So it's not as though
we have to be
abstract.
Nimble.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's go ahead and talk to Richard. If you are interested in joining in this conversation this morning, dear listener, you can call 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. I'm Ani. I'm here with Lynn. Today's discussion is with Shahid Buttar, who is the executive director of the Bill of Rights Defense Committee, and
among so many other things.
Yes, that's a good, good abbreviation.
It's almost easier to say what he doesn't do than what he does.
And good morning, Richard. You're on the air.
Good morning, my friends. Thank you for the discussion. Recently, I had a talk with Ani and what's her buddy, Teresa, about the grand jury, the common law grand jury movement, which is coming across the country as a solution to the current grand jury, the conventional grand jury problem. And I'd like to have a little bit more discussion about how this non-political organization, it's not a political in the proper sense of the word, political discussion. So I think that a community-based radio station could have it, but the original grand jury, the one that's talked about in the Constitution, is actually 25 people who come together and decide how it, the people, are going to control government, what government has to do in order to conform to the will of the people.
Okay, Richard, I'm going to go ahead and interrupt and say I really want to stay focused right now on police violence and community response to police violence. We can get into a lot of minutiae of grand jury systems, and that's not now. Right now, okay, I'm wanting to stay very focused this morning.
Okay, let me leave you with this on the police violence. The will of the people is crystallized in the acts of the will of the people is crystallized in the acts of the legislature. There you go. That's our
okay. Supreme thanks. Thanks very much for your call this morning. And let's actually, looking at the time, it's time to talk to SW.
Hello there, Ani and Lynn, and all the folks out there who are enjoying Positively Revolting. We want to make sure that you've had your opportunity to talk to one of our fantastic volunteers back here who are answering the phones at toll-free number 877-500-KBOO. You've been enjoying listening to Shahid Buttar and folks who are in the community talking about what's been going on locally and nationally in the issue of civil rights and the Bill of Rights that we ideally enjoy in this country, the right to peaceably assemble in particular. in light of the grievances that need to be addressed. The thing that's really important right now is to make sure that this information and this in-depth coverage of the situations on the local and national level get funded. All of our facilities here, all of the folks that are trained here, all of the folks that come in and make amazing radio, whether it's music or public affairs, this needs to be funded. And the best way to do it is to call 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO. And we do want to remind folks that there is a matching period right now for all new members and people who are renewing but increasing their membership amounts.
So let me tell you a little bit, very simply what
SSI
this means.
SSI Shredding Systems is being very generous here. Yeah.
Thank you, SSI Shredding Systems. What this means is if you are somebody who has been a faithful KBOO supporter, if you are sustaining us, if you are doing a $5 a month contribution or a $10 a month contribution, if you bump that up just a dollar or two every month, that additional dollar or two every month is going to be matched. And that makes a significant difference to KBOO's financial health and outlook. Right now, we're looking to raise $1,300 before the top of the hour, and we can only do that with your help. 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm. It's so important that you make that call right now because, well, without you, there is no community, right? We are community together, and together we pull our resources to make people's media. This station has all volunteers on the air. No one is actually paid to do programming here. We are volunteers from the community who are passionate about the issues in which we are discussing, in which we report. And we do that because we think it's important to bring information unfettered by corporate interests, unfettered by the state's interests, directly to each other in the community so that we can keep each other aware of breaking news. We can keep each other aware of issues that really impact and affect our lives. It's relevance. It is that informational hub around which we can inform ourselves so that we can actually take right action and make the social changes that need to be made. 877-500-5266 is the number to call to join us here at KBOO Community Radio. 877-500-5266. New members, if you want to try KBOO out, you've been listening for a while and you've been just sort of sitting back a little bit, this is your moment. You can join KBOO. Just $20 is actually our sliding fee scale. $20 makes you a member of KBOO Community Radio, and a new member, you can get that match, you can get that contribution doubled by SSI Shredding System. So give that call right now, 877-500-5266. Isn't that right, Conch?
That is right. What is also right, we have a $1,500 goal for this show, for Positively Revolting. We want to make sure that you show your appreciation for this interactive community talk radio by calling in at 877-500-5266. If you are already a member, you know about all the benefits that come from being a KBOO member, from thank you gifts to trainings to discounts around town at all the local businesses. Speaking of which, we want to thank Thai Champa for feeding our volunteers. Our partner business is serving Thai food. They're open at 11 a.m. every day. They're at 910 East Burnside. Thank you, Thai Champa. Also, you know that you get amazing benefits, and maybe you want to bestow a gift membership on a friend or family member, a loved one, and you can certainly do that, and that impact will be doubled. Again, if you want to give a $5 or $10 or $20 gift to a friend, call 877-500-KBOO, and your donation will be doubled. So let's say you want to get your friend the KBOO hoodie, the new, brand new KBOO hoodie for the holidays. That's black. It has a white and red logo on it. It says KBOO. You can give $20 a month, and the KBOO will get $40 a month thanks to the generous offer by SSI Shredding Systems. 877-500-5266 is the number to call to make sure that KBOO stays strong. Gets stronger, is allowed to do more coverage, is allowed to do it on more platforms, on social media, on second streams, on all of the things that we are working towards in this expanded digital media environment. 877-500-KBOO.
Thank you very much, Conch. And, you know, I just also want to throw in there, I would be remiss to not mention, Portland has been having an extremely active response. Don't Shoot Portland is gathering again tomorrow, 1 p.m., at the Edith Green Wendell Wyatt Federal Building. We all know that is the building on 4th, very near where Occupy was, across the street from, what do we call that, Terry Shrunk Park, 4th downtown, at 1 o'clock tomorrow, the next gathering. There have been gatherings, almost just about every day for the last couple weeks. And it's that kind of movement that we are seeing coalesce across the nation. As Shahid was saying, it's a sort of a new coalescence, not necessarily new information, but the coming together and actually seeing from city to city, from coast to coast, this sort of groundswell of people demanding a change to this rotten system.
So you remember in 1968, there was a lot of that going on. There were, but there was no social media then. It was harder for folks to communicate. I see a difference. I see a similarity and a big difference this time with this uprising. And I think we can call it that, don't you, Shahid?
I think it's worthy of being called an uprising, you know, beyond a protest. I wasn't around in 68. I was born in 74, so I can't draw the comparison. But I would hesitate to say that social media, I think the value of social media is quite frankly inflated. You know, it helps, but it didn't save Eric Garner. It helps when we plug into street actions, you know, because I can just check Twitter to see the DC Ferguson hashtag and figure out, you know, where the actions happen to be at the moment. And that's helpful. But at the end of the day, what makes it possible is community, like offline community, you know, the deep ties that Malcolm Gladwell, for instance, notes that social media cannot help people establish. Social media is good with sharing information, but it doesn't inspire people to risk their necks and put their bodies on the line. That only happens because of trust, because of community, because people have gotten out from behind their chairs and gone in real spaces to meet other human beings who share their concerns. I think that social media, at the same time that it does represent a benefit, can also represent a shackle, because there's the illusion, for instance, that we can click our way out of this problem. And one very impressive aspect, I think, of the contemporary uprising is that people have shed that illusion, right? There is no illusion that we can sit behind our computers and that that can suffice to make a difference. You know, we have to get up out of our chairs, and I think that the contemporary uprising reflects that. One thing I just want to say to your listeners real quick on the theme of your pledge drive, there aren't a lot of radio stations that are actually going to tell you the time and place for the next convergence the way that you guys did, right? And that space you were talking about is near and dear to my heart. I remember speaking there during Occupy Portland. And the idea that there is a radio station that will not only tell you about the issues, but tell you how to plug in as a local community member, that's invaluable. So if you are hearing this broadcast, I would just implore you to support the people who are making it possible.
Well, thank you. In fact, we were at 24 hours a day at Occupy, embedded reporters we were, and I think I probably met you then. But anyway.
Anyway, could you cross your path again?
Right. Oh, yeah, that's who you were. This is, I have to say, one of those moments in my life. I've been a little obsessed is probably not too short a word about this for the last, couple months, especially as I'm looking at things this week, as I'm looking at the Eric Garner case, specifically, well, one, I'm asthmatic, and two, it harkened back to the very first time that I jumped into street actions to end cop violence. And it was in 1985, when I was 19, because there were police that, in fact, choked a man to death at a 7-Eleven in Northeast Portland. The man was an off-duty security guard who was actually attempting to stop somebody who was stealing wine. The guy that was stealing wine was white. Cops show up, and they immediately choke the black guy that was on the scene, who, you know, again, was attempting to help out the store clerk. And the response of the police to the street actions at that time was beyond reprehensible. the day that Lloyd Stevenson was being buried, other cops were selling T-shirts that said, "Don't choke 'em, smoke 'em," as a response to the criticism that they should not have been using chokeholds. The cops that were selling those T-shirts actually got suspended. The cop that killed Stevenson didn't. That's a whole nother issue. But it occurs to me that that's, you know, let's say 30 years of sustained focus and action in my life attempting to fight back police violence in our communities. And when you start looking at things in the long haul, and I started thinking about all of the different murders that we've covered on this program, Jose Mejia Pote, James Jahar Perez, Kendra James, Aaron Campbell, the list is way too long to go into. We've only got 20 minutes left, and that's just in Portland, right? So again, we need each other, and we need community media to inform each other about sustaining this action and actually making these changes. I want to go ahead and get to another caller about now. I think LJ is on the line. Good morning, LJ.
Good morning, Lynn. Hello, can you hear me?
Hello, LJ.
Absolutely.
All right.
How you doing?
Yet another day in paradise.
Uh-huh.
Okay, first of all, thank you for this dialogue. This is very, very important that we talk about this. I just have a couple of questions. All right, as we know, the police are military. As we also know, the police also take their training with the Israelis. If you remember, Mark Kroger, who was police chief here, he spent more time in Israel than he did in Portland, actually. So being that the police are being trained in anti-terrorist techniques by the Israelis, I'm simply asking the question, do you think that Afro-American neighborhoods are occupied like Palestine? And I'll take my answers off the air.
I have said exactly that, that there is an armed occupation of U.S. cities. And I think you're right to note the very disturbing pathway through which a lot of this gets developed. You know, for instance, just to take an example, when tear gas was being used in Ferguson, you know, the tweets that were advising the people on the ground about how to counteract it, namely by dipping bandanas and Maalocs, right? They were coming not from the U.S., but they were coming from Palestine, where the same tactics had been used to suppress in those areas, occasionally violent, but still protests, right? I mean, there is an international solidarity movement against police violence that stems from Mexico, where, you know, 40-plus students were recently disappeared by the state in response for what would be constitutionally protected activity here in the U.S., to Ferguson, to Washington, where there are bills in play that would, for instance, curtail police militarization, that would require transparency into the racial impacts of police stops and frisks and uses of force and uses of deadly force, to Jerusalem, right? It's Mexico to Ferguson to Washington, Jerusalem, and lots of points in between. Go back to the Arab Spring. What was motivating it? A great many things, but among them were the use of U.S. arms purchased by dictators to suppress assembly by their own populations, right? And it's disturbing to witness the consistency of American materiel and training, not on the side of democracy, but rather on the side of autocracy. And whether it's an armed occupation in the context of settling territory that might, you know, have been at one point the land of another people, or whether it's the kind of occupation that Ferguson is subjected to, or Southeast D.C., or the South Side of Chicago, you know, those are, I think, remarkably parallel challenges. And that's why it's so inspiring to witness this movement emerge that recognizes those intersections and is active across them. I think this is a very profound time in human history, because it's the only time I can think of when people across the world are actually rising up against common enemies, and that is to say state violence, whatever flag it's under.
It is amazing. It's a very amazing to see. I was trying to, as you were talking about that, I was trying to remember which piece, when if it was in Libya or Iraq or where they were finding or maybe it was in Egypt. It's hard to remember. Munitions that had, you know, made in the USA, basically, on them. that were being fired. It was Egypt. Thank you.
But
it's hard to remember. There's so many.
All of those places.
I know. I'm sure I can absolutely have that to be true. So, you know, I always want to go follow the money on that. Like, who are the arms dealers? Because that's who's making the money on a lot of this. And I don't know what can be done to stop that.
Arms dealers, but also police departments and intelligence agencies. I think it's worth noting here that, you know, the intelligence arena is the one place where serial institutional failure is met with expansion of resources. And, you know, what you're looking at here in the context of the militarization of local police, you know, let's go back just a little while ago. We were talking about the roots of these issues lying in serial CIA abuses, right? And so when the CIA is running drugs into Latin America and then outgunning local cops here in the streets, and that prompts the local militarization of the police force, where was the accountability for essentially, you know, and treason is a very tough term to throw around, but, you know, the CIA also more recently was caught hacking the U.S. Senate, conducting espionage operations against the people's representatives to cover up human rights abuses that the agency committed. That cost U.S. lives, that perpetuated conflict, that did not generate useful intelligence. The whole thing is still secret. The bit about running drugs into Latin America, that happened 20 years ago. The agencies admitted it. Do most Americans have any idea that that happened? No, of course not.
Right.
You know, it's a failure to grapple with facts. And I think, unfortunately, this is a deeper issue than even these civil rights problems, because, you know, we have an astounding ability to ignore facts across our history, right? Whatever those facts
are. We absolutely do. If they make us a little uncomfortable, it's better to just look over there. You know, if they don't...
Climate change comes to mind, right?
Right. No, exactly.
I think you're absolutely onto something here.
Let's take a moment again to raise support for Community Radio, to raise support for KBOO. 877-500-5266 is...
Tis the number.
The number to call to go ahead and give your support to Community. It's a couple of minutes out of your day that will make such a big difference. KBOO has been here for 46 years. We have been here reporting on for the people's interests, by the people, ourselves, making media together. And it is, in fact, well worth your support. Just $5 a month, $10 a month, or I suggest an hour's wage every month. If you are somebody who, in fact, is employed, think about giving that hourly wage just once a month to support your entire community. It's a way of equalizing things out, which I love, and it's a way of making sure you are doing your part to sustain community media, to sustain KBOO. 877-500-5266. Good morning, Conch.
Good morning. Good morning, Anya and Lynn. And yes, good morning, folks out there in the Portland metro area and around the world at KBOO.FM. This is a few moments we want to take right now to make sure that we meet our goal. We have a little ways to go still to make sure
we have to raise like $1,000 right now. Is pretty much what we need to do.
Pretty much, but it's not undoable.
Absolutely not, but we can only do it with your help.
We can do it when people realize that you can double the impact of your donation without a single dime coming out of your pocket, a single extra dime coming out of your pocket. All new donors and increased annual donations will be matched by SSI Shredding Systems. Their very generous offer is to match the next $500 in donations. Called in during this hour, which is rapidly fading. We've only got about 12 minutes left in this hour to do so. We want to thank, Libby? I'm sorry, I might have to come back to this.
Go ahead and come back to that. 877-500-5266 online at kboo.fm. Yeah.
A new member from Portland. Also, Carol is renewing from Monmouth. Thank you so much, Carol. We want to make sure. Yes, it is Gibby who called in and is a new member from Portland. Fantastic.
Thank you
so much. We'd love that. And we know we have folks out here who appreciate, who call into Positively Revolting and other talk radio shows during the week to interact with the guests, such as Shahid Batar today, a really fascinating guest who has been very active and very informed. And you become informed, you become active through participating in this very rare exercise in the public sphere. You know, I mean, some of you might be able to think back to times before the huge consolidation of media when local commercial radio had call-in shows, had local hosts, had people people who chose the topics, had people who could respond to things happening in the local community. That pretty much does not happen now. It is pretty much KBOO who is local on the ground with overwhelmingly local and volunteer-made content. So this is something to support. This is something important to keep going and expanding and making stronger. When you call in 877-500-KBOO, that is a toll-free number, 877-500-5266. There are folks here who will be able to tell you, well, you can use a credit card, you can have a monthly deduction from checking, you can be billed all at once with a pledge that you send in a check later. You can come in with cash at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue here in Southeast Portland near the east end of the Burnside Bridge. You can do any of that, but the folks to talk to about that to get the best way to become a member for you is to call them at 877-500-KBOO. And do it now, because we have a matching period that will double your impact if you are a new member, or if you are giving a couple of extra bucks to an existing membership. Toll free, 877-500-5266.
Thank you so much, Conch. I know we have Linda on the line. She's been very patient. Linda, very quickly for your question.
Well, it was really, I just wanted to make a quick statement about the internet and its use in activism. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure that I'm probably sure I know less than the guest, but I personally find it inspiring me to action. Now, I'm a person who has a long history of going out into demonstrations, but I don't always hear about them. I do my best to hear about them from KBOO. But I do get motivated. I spent hours on the web yesterday, which I haven't done in really months, because I got captured by some of the videos from around the country about police beating black men. And it deepened my sense of need to be out on the street. And so I just wanted to say that I think it can motivate people. I think you can find things and see things, and your friends can steer you to things that you didn't know. And it can be just the thing that gets you up out of your chair. So I just wanted to say that.
Thanks very much for your call this morning.
Thank you.
I know that for myself, I've been having an interesting time with the internet, sharing videos about cop violence with friends of mine in Mexico. And we're swapping videos of, well, this is the action I was at, this is the action in the city, you know, two states away. And I'll be damned if those videos don't look really, really similar, as uprisings are coming into focus in both countries at this time. Shahid, thank you very much again for staying with us. To sort of wrap up, looking at actually bringing about the change, I think that it's safe to say that reforming this system is not really where we're going here. I think the system is so utterly corrupt, is so utterly broken, that incremental reforms are not really going to help us in any significant way. This groundswell, go ahead.
Well, I think that's right. I mean, I think the incremental reforms or the settling for them is what's gotten us to this point.
And exactly.
The movement emerging from Ferguson will settle nothing for nothing less than the end, not only of police murder with impunity and the end of racial profiling, but the end of mass incarceration. This is a bold movement. And I think among the things that particularly amazed me by it is its leadership of youth of color. And, you know, these are young people who, quite frankly, have nothing to lose because they don't have many rights to begin with, and they know it. And, and they are going for the gusto. And I think the rest of us, especially people maybe who've been supportive of social justice for a long time, would really do well to recognize, as your caller did, I think, that this is a very profound time that we are living in, like, you know, these couple weeks. And if you haven't been out yet in solidarity with this movement, I would strongly encourage you to take it upon yourself to even take a few hours out, and I think you might be really inspired by what you witness. And I think that we do have very transformative aims, and we will not rest until they are secured.
And thanks for the Maalox tip.
Always good to know.
Yeah. I was going to say, get some fresh air and bring a bandana with Maalox.
You'll be prepared.
You know, the Rose City Medics, they're onto that.
And if you want to take it up a notch, bring swim goggles. Swim goggles plus a bandana and Maalox, you're pretty much good. I mean, there's lots of things cops can do to you, but that's the tear gas solution.
All right, thank you.
And, you know, I always like practical tips. It's like hints from Heloise, but, you know, activist style. Shahid, thank you so much for being with us this morning on Positively Revolting. I hope to talk to you again sometime soon as we follow this movement and where it goes.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for covering it. Keep up the great work.
Thank you so
much.
And good friends, please, you can follow Positively Revolting all week long on Facebook, where you can find us, Positively Revolting. You can follow us on Twitter.
And on the Twitters.
And God knows, I have fallen into Twitter like a mad fiend. I'd never tweeted before, like 2 weeks ago, and there I am. You can follow us on Twitter, where you can find us at Positive Revolt. And right now, it is time once again to say, please, make this your moment. Join KBOO, be proud, and support community media.
You've got 5 minutes. You can do it, people.
877-500-5266 is the number. Conch, how we doing?
We still have about
$1,000,
$1,200 to go, and I am sure, as I've ever been sure, that people can do it with this 4 minutes to go. It's we've got half a dozen volunteers here. They're all ready to take your call, and if you are a new member or if you are increasing your donation, your annual donation, it will be matched. It will still be matched, the next $500 in donations by SSI Shredding Systems. So you should call right now, 877-500-KBOO. If you're on the east side of town, east side of the Burnside Bridge, pull over and drop in at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. We'll give you a cup of coffee, and we can allow you to check out some of our thank you gifts that are available. You might enjoy a news flash drive that's available for a $75 minimum pledge of support. It's got Raj Patel. It's got Amy Goodman. It's got Greg Palast. It's got dozens and dozens of hours of amazing contact, Bill McKibben. You can take that on
your holiday
drive.
How do people get it? How do they get it? What do they do to get it?
They can call 877-500-KBOO. That's toll free, 877-500-5266.
And our phone volunteers will take you through it really quickly. You can just do it really fast and then get to work, no problems. Or you can go to kboo.fm if you're sitting at your little cubicle at work right now. You go right ahead and do that, or sitting around in your jammies at home. Either way, kboo.fm is good. But 877-500-5266.
You'll make the phones ring. It's music to our ears.
Music,
we do
music,
a little
music.
Dance about it. It's so very important. We're talking about murderous cops, right? We're talking about ending state violence in our communities. Positively Revolting has been on the air for, I got to say, nearly 21 years now, looking at state violence, looking at the incredible...
Help us not have to cover this topic anymore. Call 877-500-5266 so we can keep activism going, so we can finally get on to other topics, because this one keeps on coming.
Well,
it's the gift that keeps on giving,
you
isn't
know.
It?
877-500-5266. We have been on the air talking about state violence, talking about police... police murdering cops. Yeah, let's just talk, murdering cops. And we are also, have been talking about rape culture. We've been talking
Actually,
about violence.
Actually, the police are not murdering each other yet.
No, the murderous cops, I suppose. I should say. Cops who kill. We've been talking about rape culture. We've been talking about violence against women. We've been talking about war on the poor. We've been talking about legalizing drugs. We've been talking about the mass incarceration system. We've been talking about war and how to end it. And all of these things. Why do we do this? Well, because we think it's important to bring social justice to light. We think it's important to dig deep behind the news that really you don't even hear in corporate press.
And we know you
do,
too.
And bring you real stories. And that's why you're listening.
That's right.
And
so
that's why you're going to call with your support.
That's right.
877-500-5266.
And you got just a couple minutes to do it. And I know you can, listeners. I know you can. 877-500-5266.
Online, kboo.fm. Just a minute left to support Positively Revolting this morning. We would love to hear from you. We have about, let's just go ahead and say $1,100 left to make in a minute. And Actually, if you light up the phones right now with your calls, $10 a month, we could do it. We could absolutely do it. And you are an important part of that. Send us over the top. Bring us to that finish line. This is a mini drive. KBOO just has 3 days in which we are trying to get 100 new members and strengthen this movement of community media.
So do that.
And you, we can only do it with you.
That's right.
That's what social movements are about. It's inclusive. We need your participation. It's not a spectator sport.
And we want your participation.
Don't be sitting on the sidelines in this moment in history. Please give us a call right now. 877-500-5266. A reminder, 1 o'clock tomorrow, people are meeting at the Edith Green Wendell Wyatt Federal Building downtown. It's a Don't Shoot Portland gathering.
Be there with your hands up, folks.
They'll be gathering 1 o'clock tomorrow at the Federal Building downtown on 4th. The music in the background means that we're supposed to get out of the studio, and we'll be back with you next week. Keep those calls and letters coming. 877-500-5266.
This is KBOO Portland. The time is 9:01 a.m. Coming up, cancer surgeon and author Atul Gawande talks about his latest book, Being Mortal, Medicine and What Matters in the End. CEO and author Eric Liu discusses the meaning of citizenship in the wake of tragedy surrounding Ferguson. And Elaine Cha, St. Louis community St. Louis community journalist, reflects on the events of Ferguson, and Liz Rogers brings back Pop Watch. That's all coming up in just a moment on APA Compass. At 10, it's Eric Escadia with Chris Andre. And at 10:15, Janka Soderbergh explores the film Overcriminalized, which looks at mental illness, homelessness, and drug addiction. This is all happening on your community radio, KBOO Portland.